So the more you get into this lifestyle, the more you, I think, get committed to it.
Two families that have
two families,
zero to minimal knowledge on how to homestead, and they're just
we're just winging it.
For it.
No, not there, Ricky. It's us.
It's a cool feeling knowing exactly what's in your food, mm-hmm. knowing exactly the work that it took to get that food. Because we're so disconnected. In 2020, before that, I was so disconnected from my food source. Mm-hmm. So actually bringing back and just taking, it's not an easy life, but it's more, I feel like it's more slow paced.
Hey y'all, welcome to Just Graze It. Welcome to Just Graze It.
I'm back.
Hey y'all, welcome to the premiere podcast of Just Graze It. We are a couple of first time homesteaders. Somebody gotta jump in.
I have no idea what we're doing here.
The premiere
podcast. It is the premiere podcast. Is it
welcome premiere? To the premiere podcast.
Is it pilot?
It's the premiere episode.
Is it premiere or pilot?
It's the premiere.
Pilot.
The pilot episode.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the pilot episode of Just Graze It. Okay. Our podcast is about... What's it about?
You had said everything so nicely.
Two families that have...
Two families.
Zero to minimal knowledge on how to homestead. And they're just...
And we're just winging
going
it.
For it.
No, not there, Ricky. It's us. And we are
just it's them. We gotta own it. They. It's us. We're the people. We're the they.
We, right?
We are the they.
You said two families.
Have zero to minimal
it reminds me. This
knowledge.
Reminds me of what is it? Seven people picked to live in a mansion. The MTV. Oh, y'all are too old, young for that.
No, I remember Cribs.
Okay,
I don't remember that part.
Not Cribs. That
not Cribs.
Cribs.
It was the first reality TV show. What was that?
That's something about Cribs.
It was before that one. It was like seven people picked to live in a mansion.
Big Brother.
It was after that. Anyway, we're two families. Oh, I hate to say zero. So it sounds like
three cats.
We have, yeah, it is.
48 chickens and dropping. And one less dog than last week.
And that sums it up.
Welcome to homestead.
Wow. Welcome to
when
homesteading.
When you lose an animal, you go buy another doing? One. That's what we did.
Okay, so we decided... Why not share our everyday experiences of first-time homesteaders? So for this episode, we're going to share a little bit about why we got into this, our backgrounds, and a little bit about where we're at right now. So I'm Keisha, and this is Robert.
Hi.
I'm Margarita.
And I'm Rick.
And we co-parent cows.
We do.
Three.
So three cows, yeah. So we should share a little bit about how we met, because that's kind of a fun story to begin with, right?
It is.
So I'm a midwife in North Texas.
And I was pregnant.
And you were pregnant.
North Texas.
In North Texas.
And then...
Sounds like a TV show.
And we were forced to become friends. There's a lot of pressure on that.
Against your will. Yeah. You signed a contract. So.
Yeah, that's true.
You were referred to me by a friend. But then the funny part is when you sat down in my office, you said you homeschooled.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I homeschool. And then we realized our kids went to the same co-op, or were about to start in like 2 weeks. And then I realized you were Brody's, my son's science teacher.
Yes.
That was funny. And so then not only was I your midwife, but I saw you all the time, you know, from there. So, and then we both at the same time were embarking on starting our homesteads.
Yeah. So we were in the process of looking for land.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were going to build our home on land. That didn't work out. So we found 12 acres closer to Keisha.
Yeah, closer to us. So we've been homesteading for a year and a half. You guys about the same, really, right?
We've had chickens.
Chickens?
And we got sheep about 10 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That was when we got the bigger part of our venture off into the homesteading part. The chickens are not hard, But it's definitely a good starting point. And then once we got into the sheep, that's where it got a little,
Actually, I feel like chickens are harder than sheep.
Yeah, I would say that too.
Yeah.
But chickens are... we all disagreed with you.
Yeah. Well, you guys didn't have to take it out, so...
It's okay. That was hard on me.
Chickens are the gateway. So we had chickens when we lived in the city. We had a flock of 12, and they came with us when we moved to... We're on a little over 2 acres on our property. And we have currently 13 laying chickens with a rooster. We have 2 sheep and a new baby lamb that's just 2 weeks old. We have 5 goats that we use for dairy. We have, what else do we have currently?
Guardian dog.
Our guardian dog. And then we just processed pigs and a lamb. And meat birds.
We also turkeys.
Turkeys. And we also have bees. So that's what we do. Yeah. So we're brand new at this. And we wanted to share our successes, our tips, and our epic fails.
Yes.
There's a lot of them.
Want people to know that they can do this too. And they don't have to be perfect at it. I think that that's like the encouraging part, is seeing other people do this and mess up, but still do it and succeed in it. So do you guys have any background?
So no, I have never owned animals other than just dogs.
Yeah, I have nothing else other than dogs.
Did you ever hunt?
No. Nope.
Did you hunt growing up?
Nope. Yeah.
So Robert, did you grow up
hunt?
This way?
Yeah, I grew up with, we kind of intermittently had animals for a few years. We had goats and chickens, I think, on and off for a number of years. We had a cow for a very short period of time, so I just remember.
Oh, you did? I didn't know that.
We had a milk cow, because I remember we built this, like, janky milking stand, and it was always, like, kicking the bucket over and hitting me in the face with its tail, and so I'd, like, drive a T-post in the ground and try and tie its tail to the T-post. And, like, just when I thought I had it, it'd, like, whip its tail off, like, whip me in the face
again.
Smack
you in the face.
So, like, we, like, a little bit, but, and then I remember we did raise a small batch of meat birds at one point. Because I just remember, I was young, I remember thinking they looked different than our regular chickens, because they have such big feet, and they just sit around all the time.
And your mom always had a big garden. Mm-hmm. She was a pretty good gardener. So she came over when we lived in the city, and she put a garden in for me, and it thrived. And I was like, this is easy. I got this. And then I didn't do anything with it for a few years. And in 2020, I revived the garden. And literally, the only thing that grew was one tomato plant. It was the biggest fail ever. It was so sad.
The dirt was
so
like...
so much money. The dirt melted together because I was told put molasses in it, which is true. But there has to be the correct ratios. And the Texas heat literally like melted it. It was like, I have to like break it up. It was horrible. So if you failed, you probably just did it wrong like me. That's what I've learned. So, well, I have a little bit of history. We grew up on 3 acres, and we raised emus and ostriches. I don't know if you guys know that. Yeah, back when ostrich meat was really popular. So we had that and a horse, and my dad had been on a ranch growing up. And so I was around that until I was about 12. And then we moved to the city, and we never had animals after that. We never thought in a million years we would do this. Robert was like, that life is not for me. I'm not
yeah.
about that.
No, I left home like I will never have
never
than one pet.
Maybe not one. Our families love to. Actually, we said we were never having children, so that's super fun our friends are like, so you're a midwife, like that's your job, and then you have all these animals, and we even fostered. They're like, you just have all the babies. So
you just stop saying you're never gonna.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah.
Never gonna be a millionaire.
Never. Say it real loud.
Billionaire, sorry.
Yes, sorry. Million doesn't go that far.
Never
right
gonna
now.
Be a Rothschild.
Billionaire.
Yeah. So then when you guys moved here, you had an ag exemption to maintain.
Yes. Yeah. For here.
For yeah. here. And for here where we are.
Yes.
Where we're recording this. And I said, hey, if you need to maintain that, we could go in on some cows.
Yes. But Keisha was like, ha ha, if you need to make, I was like, no, for real.
Well, cows, that was kind of the only, I mean, we wanted to raise our own beef, but we obviously don't have the land for it where we are right now. And so that was our only missing piece, we felt, to provide a good amount of our food. So I had heard and learned a little bit about Red Devons, and we found a closed herd of Red Devons, which was super exciting. And so we got three. And that's what we have.
Two heifers and a steer.
Yeah, two heifers and a steer.
How old are they? They're...
We got it written down somewhere.
No, 10 months, because they were born the same time Richard was born.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yes,
so for baby.
10 months. Oh.
So why do you guys choose to do this?
So in 2020, I started a garden as well.
Oh.
Yes. And it failed.
Oh, good. We're
pretty much every
friends.
Story that we're going to have is going to start with a major failure. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We thought that. And then.
So
we thought it'd be fine.
So Ricky built me this really cool herb planter from our gate that was falling apart.
It would catch a lot of wind, so it kept falling off the fence.
So we put an iron fence on it, and then the leftover wood, I was like, oh, that'd be great for a raised planter bed. And then I planted some stuff. Actually, I bought the stuff already.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, this is going to be great. Then I forgot about it. And then it was all burnt, too.
Yeah.
But my tomatoes thrived as well.
Your tomatoes.
It was on the side that got all the sun.
Yes.
Every bit of that sun, it just scorched everything.
What's so funny about that is, like, historically, tomatoes have been the easiest thing for me to grow. And this year... The tomatoes were so hard with our heat. Texas had like record heat. It was horrible. But I kept them alive all through that crazy heat, and they actually produced in the fall. And then we got an early frost. And I didn't get much. So, okay, so you started with a garden. We started with a garden and chickens.
So in 2020, we couldn't find food. And it was kind of a weird feeling not being able to provide for yourself. Mm-hmm. You had to depend on the government or like the stores to have enough food for everyone to buy, and then they were rationing your food. Mm-hmm. So I didn't like that feeling at all. So I told Ricky, we need to figure out a way how we can do it. And my grandpa lived in a farm. He's mm-hmm. 87 now, and he did all this. Mm-hmm. But he actually got out of this farm because mm-hmm. it was really, really hard, and my grandma refuses to do anything in a farm. Mm-hmm. So every time she talks to me, she's like, I worked so hard to get us out of the...
I know.
That's and now it. you're in it again.
Hmm. It's interesting. I feel like that's the case for a lot of people. So my great-grandmother grew up in the Great Depression, and they homesteaded until they were in their 80s. My mom was really close with her, and so we spent a lot of time there growing up. And I just have some of the most fond memories of being in the kitchen, of going out and being in the gardens. I loved going out and finding all her canned goods, because we always got to go home with a bunch of them. And she grew all of it. And so I have a lot of fond memories that I didn't realize I had, and my mom didn't realize she had, until really the last year of us doing this, because my parents are also homesteading to a degree as well. And so we realized how much we actually did get impacted by what she taught us, and growing up around that, it's just such a different life. I was telling Robert recently that even our Christmas tradition with my family comes from their homesteading life, because dinner wasn't the big meal, lunch was the big meal. You had a really good big breakfast, and then you worked outside until lunch, then after lunch you were kind of done for the day. And so because of that, that's how our Christmas is. We don't do Christmas dinner. We've always done Christmas lunch. We do Thanksgiving lunch. And it really stems from my great-grandparents, because they still had animals to take care of on the holidays, and that's just what we did, because we spent the holidays with them, So then you started looking for land?
Yes. No. Oh, and then we kept getting... fines from our HOA.
for what?
They would tell us that we couldn't have a portable basketball goal, and our weeds and stuff, and just petty things that they would get upset about. And we could be very stubborn, because portable basketball goal was good, and then they said, no, you had to have a piece of concrete on the bottom of it. It's like, what's the point? It's going to be covered up by the basketball goal. But that was the only way they would let us have it. And then a couple other things with the HOA and neighbors. Some of them were very bougie. Other ones, not so much. That might have been us, but we had a good time.
So then that's what really pushed us. We're like, we need to move out of here.
Yeah.
And then we started analyzing what we wanted. And that's when we were like, well, land would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we found land.
Yeah. And that's the process to get there was, it wasn't just find land, buy land.
Mm-hmm.
It was sell that really nice, convenient house on 1 acre to go live in an RV for a year on a hope that something was going to work out, and it didn't, but it was for a reason. And now, instead of that going through, we have 12 acres on, you know, really, really nice land. It's not just bare or anything. It's very fruitful and gives us everything we need, has the potential.
You guys have two really good ponds.
Yes, two stock ponds on each half.
Yeah, which is really nice and a really cool view, especially for flat Texas, where we're at. You have a nice little treehouse view, which is cool.
So what was our first? So we had a garden. Did we have chickens before the garden or gardens before the
chickens?
Well,
we had the garden that your mom put in and then I let go. And so we decided to revamp the garden at the same time. I say revamp.
Was this our first chicken experience?
Oh, yeah. So we should back up a little bit. So the way that Robert was raised, he said, I am never doing any of that. And I honestly was just being cheap. I wanted really good eggs, and I did not want to pay, at the time, $6 a dozen for them. And so I was like, I really just want backyard chickens. A lot of people around us have backyard chickens. And he was like, fine, you can get backyard chickens, but it's all on you. You got to do it all. You got to build the coop. You have to do everything. And I was like, okay. So he was out of town and I Amazoned me a coop. I put that thing together.
Sends me a picture. So this is the woman who pretends she doesn't. How does this screwdriver work? And then I'm at a summer camp, helping as a counselor, and I get a picture. I built this coop in the backyard.
I'm real determined. You know, it's not real good to tell me I can't do something. So I built a coop, and these people in our neighborhood posted on our neighborhood group, hey, we've got 4 extra chicks. I had no clue about chickens. And I was like, I want them. They're free. I had no idea. They were $2 a piece. So I drive and I get them and I bring them home and baby them and I raise them. One died pretty quickly. I had 3. And then we did something that I didn't know you were not supposed to do. We let our neighbors chase them. 2 more died.
In the summer.
And I was left with 1, and it was a rooster. Turned out 3 of the 4 were roosters, in fact. And so I rehomed that one, and our chicken coop sat out there along with our dying garden for 4 years.
A long time.
Yeah, a long time. And then we decided we were hoping for another baby. And so I'm like, I want to have those eggs for when I'm pregnant, because I preach those egg yolks to my clients. And at that point, you were more on board and you're like, okay. And so he said,
did we build our coop? It was pre-COVID, right?
Yeah. It was right before. Yeah. So he built the coop, a new one, a really nice one. And we got 12. And they did great. Did a really good for us. And then I put in the garden, which completely failed. That was the saddest thing ever. And at that point, it was 2020. And our kids were home from school. And we realized really quickly how little space we had. And then we also realized that we wanted to homeschool them. And so kind of all together, we were like, you know what? We need more space. And so that's how we embarked on looking for more land. And he went all in. He's like, we need 25 acres. And I was like, I think that's a lot.
It'd be nice.
It'd be nice. I think that's a lot. I think we need to go smaller. And honestly, we want more. But there's so many times where I'm really thankful we're learning on smaller. Because I think we would have bigger problems to deal with at times, bigger failures. Sure. And so it is good to have the smaller problems. And I think we've done a lot with our small property. So, yeah, we started with sheep as well. Sheep, I think, are
so the we moved from a neighborhood to 2 acres.
A little over 2, yeah.
I think you've already said. I don't know. But, yeah, so we started with, well, we brought our chickens.
And we got a guardian dog.
Cut the coop in half, brought it, reassembled it, got a guardian dog. Like the best thing we've ever done.
Mm-hmm. Guardian dog is the best decision. The first thing you should get is a fence.
Well, yeah.
And the second thing you should get is a guardian dog.
Make sure that fence comes with a dog.
Fence and dog, debatably at the same time.
But then, so our neighbor has 8 acres, and he has a ton of sheep and bees and some chickens, and it's all, you know, pretty much for just ag, to keep his ag up. And so he's like, man, I have too many sheep. And I was like, I'll buy some sheep from you. And so we got an unrelated boy and girl that were like 4 or 5 months old, I don't remember. And brought them over, and they immediately tried to escape back next door. And I caught them like right as they were like halfway through the fence. And so I was like, oh, I need to fix my fence. So then, so then we put them in a smaller pen so they could like kind of get used to where they were going to live now. And I repaired the fence. And since that point, they've been like the easiest animal.
Oh, they're so easy. We shouldn't say that too loudly because they'll be our problem next week. But the funniest thing with ours, so the hope was that they would mate and have a baby, of course. And that would be a food source for us. And so about 5 months after we got them, I'm out there and I'm like, I think she's pregnant. And Robert's like, no, she's not. She's just growing. And I'm like, I really think she's pregnant. And so we kind of decided, no, she's not pregnant. Several more months go by and we go to Puerto Vallarta on vacation and our neighbor's babysitting, pet sitting, farm sitting for us. And she sends us a video and she's like, hey, is Rosie, our guardian dog, supposed to be playing with the baby sheep? That's what she called it. And we were like, baby sheep.
We don't have a baby sheep.
It's also during an ice storm, mind you.
Yeah.
The coldest.
Everything went.
Yes, it was so cold. It was an ice storm. And sure enough, that mama had dropped a lamb. And the funny thing is because our neighbor was calling it a baby sheep, we kind of continue to call any of the lambs a baby sheep. That's just what we call it. So their name is baby sheep. So we actually just had another little baby sheep 2.5 weeks ago. Yeah. And again, we failed.
Same thing. Just in the kitchen drinking coffee and I was like, what's that small white thing out in the field?
Here's the thing. This time I was like, she's for sure pregnant. It's twins. This is what I'm thinking. Second time to have them. Twins. No, she was just due. She had a baby. And again, 2 weeks before the coldest day in the last 40 years in Texas.
Which led to us
burning down our feed barn. That's another story for another time. It's fine.
Next episode.
Next episode. Stay tuned. So how did I convince you to do this, Robert? What's our why?
You had to get convinced too?
Yeah. 100%. Oh, yeah.
So I grew up, I'm very thankful for a lot of the ways I was raised, but I was raised very, very closed off. Like I had to like sneak out and go to youth group and, you know, for people who know what I'm talking about, like I had to sneak out and go to youth group. I had to hide like Christian music CDs under my bed.
Stephen Curtis Chapman
was a no-no. I couldn't eat candy. I hid that behind my bed too. But my parents did like give me a lot of responsibility at an early age. So that like I'm thankful for, you know. So part of the reason I didn't ever want goats is because we had this like quarter mile long driveway and my dad would use the sheep as lawnmowers and there were trees like every like 30 feet. And so he put one sheep on one side in a chain and one sheep on the other side in a chain. And then in Texas winter, when it would ice, he'd be like, hey Robert, the water's frozen. Go fill up these 5 gallon buckets with hot water and walk them down the driveway to the sheep who had then like tied themselves up, you know, to the base of the tree by the chains that they're attached to. And so anyway, it was just, it was us doing it the wrong way, which then made them really inconvenient. And so that led to me like, well, I don't want to deal with that. You know?
Well, and why, right? I mean, I think that's the thing people tell me, like, why? You can just go to the grocery store and get your food. But until you can't.
Yes.
We get, that comes up a lot in conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. So 2020 was kind of like this, the first time in my life that I've ever been, you know, all of us ever been put up against like, oh, well, you can't always just like walk out and buy what you want for the price that you think it's going to be. And the government can't do that. Well, they just did.
They just did. You can only get one dozen eggs at a time. Yeah.
You know, that along with just kind of like a food journey. I have a lot of allergies that develop later in life. And so a food journey of like, what can I eat? What makes me feel good? Why does it make me feel this way versus this way? Mm-hmm. And so that, that's led us to being very careful with what we eat. And then so you start watching things like Food Inc. It's probably like your most well-known documentary on Netflix, where you learn what they do to your meat, you know, or most of the other food that you eat. And you're like, whoa, okay, well.
Yeah. And once you go on this journey, it's you open up this door that can never be closed, and you just learn more and more. I mean, even when we got our sheep initially, it was our first food source to bring on to the property. I don't think we had a clue what that truly meant, that we were growing our own food. And even to take that a step further, we just processed our lamb. We helped you guys process yours here on your property a couple weeks ago. And I think, I mean, just even that difference was amazing. Oh my gosh.
As soon as we do this, she starts barking.
It's like a child. Yeah. The difference between processing it here, like on your homestead, versus us paying someone, that was even a big difference of like knowing exactly what happened to that animal every step of the way, even from just the initial taking the life. It was, it's always something that, you know, is a little bit saddening, but it was really special to be a part of as well, because it was done so well and so honoring. And so the more you get into this lifestyle, the more you, I think, get committed to it at times.
Yeah.
It's a cool feeling knowing exactly what's in your food, knowing exactly the work that it took to get that food. Because we're so disconnected. I mean, in 2020, before that, I was so disconnected from my food source. So actually bringing back and just taking, it's not an easy life, but it's more, I feel like it's more slow paced. What do you think?
Yeah. The pace of what we take care of on the day to day is a slower pace, even though things can be urgent and they have to be taken care of every single day. There's like a rhythm to it. And there's a natural rhythm and flow to it. It's a lot different the days that I'm just home taking care of the animals and the kids versus the days I'm going into work. Those days are a lot harder for me personally, even though they might not be as like physically taxing.
And it's like you're more in tune with nature itself. It's very relaxing. It's a lot of hard work, but extremely relaxing. Like you're fulfilled at the end of the day. Like you know that you're treating these animals well. You know that you're loving them. You know what you're feeding them, and it's just, it's a very beautiful process throughout.
Yeah, and then in return, I mean, they're feeding you, and you know exactly what you're eating, and it's, yeah, it's a really good full circle feeling, I think. So, I mean, I've been on a holistic journey for 14 years since my first son was born, and it wasn't until a year and a half ago that I became disconnected to my food. You know, it's very easy to just order from a box. Oh, it's farm raised, small farm, regenerative farming. What does that mean? I didn't know. I really and truly did not know what all the different labels mean. And now I understand. I think one of the biggest kickers for me is now the organic label. Organic, quote unquote. Do you know how hard it is for me to find soy-free organic food? The majority, I mean, you know, because we do the same feed. It's organic, but it's soy-based. And so you're buying a soy-based product, and whenever you're buying an organic from the store, lots of animals around. That's going to be inevitable.
Well, there's the animals and
animals and children. Hello, everybody.
So if you guys want to tune in next time for the next episode, we're going to talk about the pros, the cons, the wins, the fails. Miserable fails.
Miserable.
But if you can get past the fails, it's very rewarding. But if you guys want to hear more about how we get through chicken processing and raising them and other livestock, listen to the next episode.
All about meat birds.
Yes, it will not just be the Pinterest pretty stuff. It's gonna...
The good, the bad, the
and
fail.
And the ugly. And very, very, very ugly. Yeah. Maybe a little bit of bloody.
Keep grazing it.
Robert's good at writing copy. I'll make him write some copy and make him record it.
Are we done?
Yeah. Okay.